82, Living for Jesus, and mark your hymnal for the end of the service on that. And if you would stand with us, or all of the above, open your Bibles or follow along on the screen to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 27, as we read from the ever-living, eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired written word of God. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 27, and I am reading from the New American Standard Bible. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Father, as we have opened your word and read it, we ask that you bless the reading of your word and open our eyes to what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, today is the day that we honor our fathers, the third Sunday of June. And while the first Mother's Day was celebrated in 1914 after President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation making Mother's Day the second Sunday in May, Father's Day did not become official until 1966. I did not realize that. So, what is the story of Father's Day? Well, who invented Father's Day? Who came up with the idea of Father's Day? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question this morning. On July the 5th, 1908, a West Virginia church sponsored the nation's first event specifically in honor of fathers. Now, it was a Sunday sermon in memory of 362 men and boys who had died in the previous December's explosion at the Fairmont Coal Mountain Mines in Monoga, West Virginia. However, that was a one-time event. It was not an annual commemoration for the fathers. The next year, in 1909, a Spokane, Washington woman named Sonora Smart Dodd, one of six children raised by a widower, tried to establish an official equivalent to Mother's Day for male parents. Now, Dodd's father was a Civil War veteran. His name was William Smart. Her mother died, giving birth to her sixth child, so that left William Smart a widower with five children to raise on his own. That indicates that that child died also. So, when Sonora Dodd married and had her own children, she realized what a tremendous job her father had done in raising her and her siblings as a single parent. So after hearing her pastor give a sermon about the newly established Mother's Day, Sonora Dodd suggested to him that there should be also a Father's Day proposed, and she proposed to him the date of June the 5th, because that was his birthday. Well, the pastor didn't feel like he had enough time, and I made a mistake on my screen here, but not this one, it's the next one. Okay, he did not have enough time, and so he moved the date from June the 5th to June the 19th, the third Sunday of the month. Well, she went to local churches, the YMCA, shopkeepers, and government offices, to try to drum up support for the idea. And she was somewhat successful because Washington State celebrated the nation's first statewide Father's Day on, and I'm not sure about the month, I needed to check this, but I put here July the 19th of 1910. I'm not sure if it was June the 19th or July the 19th, but anyway. 1910, that's the important part. So, Dodd spent years then campaigning for Father's Day to be celebrated nationally. She commissioned the help of men's goods manufacturers and others who might benefit from a Father's Day, such as the makers of ties. And of course, back in that day, a lot of people had pipes, and she tried to get them to make special pipes for the men that smoked pipes and other products that would make a suitable gift for fathers. As early as 1913, there were some bills that were submitted to Congress to recognize Father's Day nationally, but it didn't pass. Slowly the holiday began to spread. Then in 1916, President Woodrow Wilson honored Father's Day by using telegraph signals to unfurl a flag in Spokane when he pressed a button in Washington, D.C. That was high tech back in that day. However, he couldn't muster enough support for Congress to make it a national observance. Then in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge would also recommend that Father's Day be observed, but he did not go so far as to issue a national proclamation. In 1926, a National Father's Day Committee, they must have been Baptist, they formed a committee, was formed in New York City. In 1938, a Father's Day Council was founded by the New York Associated Menswear Realtors to help with the widespread promotion of Father's Day. Still, the public continued to resist the idea of Father's Day because many of the Americans were saying, especially the fathers, they were saying, this is just going to be another thing to get into our pockets, you know, it's going to cost us more money. And a lot of them were not in favor of that. They realized how Mother's Day had taken a hold of and how it was cutting into their pocketbook. Well, then in 1956, Father's Day was recognized by a joint resolution of Congress. And in 1957, a lady by the name of Margaret Chase Smith, a senator from Maine, wrote, this is interesting when I read this, she wrote a proposal that accused and chastised Congress for ignoring fathers for the past 40 years while honoring the mothers. I thought that was interesting that she would do that. It wasn't until 1966 when President Lyndon Baines Johnson finally signed a presidential proclamation that made the third Sunday of June Father's Day. Then, in 1972, in the middle of a hard-fought presidential re-election campaign, President Richard Nixon made Father's Day a permanent national holiday. That is the history of Father's Day. Today, economists have said that Father's Day brings in over $1 billion a year. Well, there's something special about Dad. There's something special about Dad and his children, especially when they're in church together. I heard about a fella who was sitting with his dad, a little fella who was sitting with his dad in church, and the offering plate comes by, and the little boy punches his dad and says, "Don't pay for me, Dad, I'm under five." Then I heard about a little girl who walked out after the service and out to the back. And when traditionally, you know, pastors go to the back and they shake hands with everybody. And so the little girl came up to her pastor and she said to him, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." The pastor said, "Well, thank you, sweetheart, but why?" She said, "Well, because my dad says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." Woo, ouch. I think one of the sweetest things that I've ever heard was a story that was said about a little boy when he was asked, "What's the nicest thing that your dad ever did for you?" He thought for a minute, wrinkled his eyebrows, and then he said with a big smile, "He married my mother." Isn't that sweet? Yeah. I tell you, I knew you ladies would like that. Okay. So it's a beautiful, wonderful thing when we think about fathers. Now, I don't know if there's a dad in this building today or who's hearing my voice, who in your heart of hearts, you don't want to be a better dad than you are right now. We understand and we acknowledge that it's important for boys and girls to have a mother, but it is also important for them to have a father as well. There's no slam on the wonderful single mothers of today who have a variety of circumstances and reasons are trying to the best of their ability to provide what is needed for their children as a mother and also supplementing the best that they can as a father. I think all of us would agree that the normal, natural thing is that every boy and girl should have a mother and also should have a father in the home. Now, when you read the Bible, you find that it has a great deal to say about fathers. You will find many teachings and many directions that are given and many words of guidance that are given for fathers. You will find in the Bible many examples of fathers. Think about Abraham, who was the father of the Hebrew race. He's also considered the father of the faith. We think about David. He was a fantastic king, but he was a poor father. We think about Joseph, who was the legal father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Joseph, not much is said about Joseph, and I believe that he was probably a very strong person in character. But he was a very silent man, I believe, as well. Then we think also about the prodigal's father. What a beautiful scene it is when we picture the prodigal in that pig's pen, and he comes to his senses and he says, I will arise and I will go to my father. It pictures to us the wonderful love of our Heavenly Father, because in our sins we're wallowing around in the pig pen of sin, and we can realize, I will go to my Heavenly Father and I can be cleansed. All of us know about Methuselah. There have been a lot of jokes been given about Methuselah. He's known as the oldest man that ever lived. I've heard jokes, many jokes about him, but according to the Bible, he lived 969 years. Now, think about that for a minute, if you would. Let me play a little bit here. Think about that. A person living 969 years. He would wear out a lot of tennis shoes. How many shoes would he in that lifetime? That would be a bunch. How many changes of clothes would he go through? My goodness, or... I didn't think of this one, but in the reading, this guy said, well, also, think about how many Chick-fil-A sandwiches he could have eaten. 969 years. Well, if I had asked you this question at the beginning, how many of you know who Methuselah's father is? How many of you could have answered it before we read the scripture? Okay, well, Methuselah's father is Enoch. The scripture says that Enoch was a man who walked with God. But there's something special about this text that I want to share with you. You see, in verse 21, it says that Enoch lived for 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, in verse 22, it says that Enoch walked with God after he became Methuselah's father. Interesting thought. Had you ever noticed that it said after Methuselah was born, that he began to walk with God? It's specifically said in Scripture that this man Enoch began to walk with God after he became a father. You know, of course, parenthood changes you. All of you parents, you know that. Oh boy. It's interesting though, you know, to watch young couples. They get married. They have children. That first one comes along. It is so fragile. My goodness, you don't breathe on that little one. It might crack. You know, and you wouldn't dare take that baby to the nursery. Now, they wouldn't know how to take care of your precious little one. Then by the time the fourth one comes along, you go by the nursery and you say, here, catch. No question about it, when you have children, your life changes. You change. What man of us, when children have come along, that we would not pray a prayer something like this? Oh God, make me the father I ought to be. Lord God, make me the man for my sons and daughters I ought to be. I have prayed that prayer numerous, numerous times. It appears to me that this could have been the circumstance that caused Enoch to begin to walk with God. I want to give some quick suggestions to the fathers this morning. that I hope will help you be a dad that in your heart you want to be, based upon the life of this man, Enoch. The first thing I want to say for all you fathers is, be sure you are on the right path. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Now that means that Enoch got on the right path. It was difficult in that day to walk with God. You know, it was a society that was very much like our society today when you study it. In fact, it was a society that made it difficult to be the kind of man that you ought to be. But when the little one was born, something happened to this man, Enoch. The Bible says he began to walk with God. That means that he got on the right path. That means Enoch was saved. That means that Enoch opened up his heart and his life and believed in God, received God as his Lord, and trusted in him completely. It means that Enoch had received him into his heart and life. My question this morning is, have you done that? Have you been saved? The greatest thing that you could ever give your children, your son or your daughter, is to give them a dad who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Are you on the road, Dad, that leads to heaven? Where are you leading your sons and daughters? Whether or not you want to admit it, the father is the spiritual key in the family. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Dad, can you truthfully say that you live, that for you to live is Christ? I want you to be honest, Dad. Based upon how you're living right now, would you have to say, what would you have to say would be better to say after the statement is, for me to live is? If you put anything in there instead of Jesus Christ, then you cannot say that life is gain, but rather to die is loss. To put Jesus in the center of your life is the most important thing that could ever happen in your life. Enoch got on the right path, and because he did, we have cause to believe that Methuselah also got on the right path and was able to lead his sons and his daughters to know the Lord. Fathers, like it or not, you have a responsibility to those little ones. You have a responsibility to make sure that they are on the right path. Have you ever thought about it? When you bring a baby into the world, dads, you have brought a piece of eternity into this world. Because you see, once life begins, it's forever. Even if you die outside of Christ and you go to hell, you're going to die forever. You never die. You just continuously die and suffer forever. You never die. Your life never ceases. It's always going to live, but in hell it will always be dying. Never ending. We're in heaven. You'll be living forever and ever. You see, when you gave birth to that child, you brought a part of eternity into this world. Your children have heart problems. Did you know that? Every one of your boys and girls have a heart problem. The Bible says that those precious boys and girls are born with a sinful nature. Where did they get that sinful nature from? Dad? Got it from you. Okay? They got it from you. All of us are born with that fallen, sinful nature. Now, moms, they get it from you too, but I'm not majoring on y'all. I did that back in May. I'm picking on the, and I'm hitting harder on the guys because there's more responsibility that lies on us than it does on the women, on the moms. All of us, every single one of us need to repent of our sins and receive Christ into our hearts and lives. Oh, Dad, what a privilege it would be for you to lead that precious little boy, precious little girl, to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I can remember the moments when my four children gave their heart to Christ. Oh, what a blessing. What a glorious, wonderful experience of knowing they'd given their heart to Christ. You know, then the scripture says, he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, that means you also need to be sure you're going at the right pace. Now, if you walk with God, that means you're going to be at the right pace, because it means that walking at the pace, you're walking at the pace that God's going. If you're walking with somebody, you're walking right with them. You're having to keep up with them. So you're at the pace of them. So if you're walking with God, then you are at the same pace that God is going. Now, there's been some times I've had to run to catch up because of some of my foolishness. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It means that you're living the way God wants you to live. It means that you are on the journey walking the way God wants you to walk. As those little boys and girls begin to walk, you need to be sure that they're walking at the right pace. As you walk, as you're teaching them, getting them on the right path, and then getting them to go at the right pace, it's important that you work with them. You have a teaching responsibility as a father. There is more, guys, to being a father than just contributing a single sperm cell. You have a responsibility to lead those boys and girls to walk with the Lord. I came across this reading that I thought hit the nail right square on the head. It says, when I was 4 years old, I thought my daddy could do anything. When I was five, I thought my dad sure knew a lot. When I was six, I said my dad is smarter than your dad. When I was eight, I said my dad doesn't know exactly everything. And when I was 10, I said in olden days, when my dad grew up, things were really different. When I was 12, I said, oh, well, naturally, Dad doesn't know anything about that. He's too old. And when I was 14, I said, don't pay any attention to my dad. He's so old-fashioned. And when I was 21, I said, him? Hopelessly out of date. When I was 25, I said, Dad knows a lot about it, but he should. He's been around a long time. And when I was 30, I said, maybe we should ask Dad what he thinks. After all, he's had a lot experience. When I was 40, I said, I wonder, how Dad would have answered that, and how he would have handled that. He was such a wise man. When I was 50, I said I would give anything if Dad were here now so that I could talk with him. Too bad I didn't appreciate how smart he was. I could have learned a lot from him. Dad, they can learn a lot from you. They really can. You have a teaching responsibility. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord. Dad, teach your children. Give them the right path. Get them going at the right pace. Dad, be sure you're going to the right place. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. In other words, he went to heaven without dying. He went right into glory and he never died. When Methuselah died, according to this passage of Scripture, he also went to heaven. Who do you think, by chance, was probably the first person to meet Methuselah when he walked through those gates of glory? I bet it was Enoch. I have a feeling that Enoch was there with his arms open wide receiving him and welcoming him. You see, Enoch, by walking with God, had led his son to the right place. Enoch walked with God and he was not. God took him. Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. Where did he go? I have no doubt. He went to heaven. A little boy came home one Sunday morning as some dads unfortunately do. This dad had stayed home to read the sports page and to watch the game. The little boy came in from church, and after a while he kind of fumbled around and then jumped up into his dad's lap. His dad held him and hugged him for a little bit, but was still giving his attention to the ball game. Would you get me a Kleenex, please, PK? Then the little boy said to his dad, Dad, guess what the Sunday school teacher said this morning? And the dad kind of glanced over at him, but he's still watching the game. And he said, well, son, what did the teacher ask you this morning? You know how you can ask a question and still be focused in on the ball game. The little boy said, the teacher asked, when we die, where do we want to go? Now that got the dad's attention. And he looked down at the little boy and he said, well, son, what did you tell the teacher? The little boy crawled up a little further into his dad's lap, took his hands, cupped them around his dad's face, and whispered in his daddy's ear, I told the teacher, when I die, I want to go where my daddy goes. When your children die, where are they going to go? Mom, that's a question for you too. When your children die, where are they going to go? When you die, where have you led them? Are you leading them to heaven through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, will you start that path today, right now? Romans 10, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth, confession, resulting in salvation. Will you live for Jesus, Dad? Moms? Will you live for Jesus? Will you confess that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for your sins? Will you ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart as your Savior and be your Lord? If you will, you'll be walking on the right path as well as leading your whole family on the same path. The path that leads to heaven. Just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing our song, Living for Jesus. As we do, will you come? And if you just made that decision just now, will you come and tell me? Because the Bible says in Matthew and in Luke that Jesus wants us to confess us before men. If we confess Him before men, He will confess us before His Father. That's why it's important that you respond to whatever it is that God's telling you this morning. Will you do that? Will you live for Jesus? Make that decision and respond to Him and call on His name. As we stand, as we sing, you follow Christ today.